through 7. But before we go through that, we're going to take a little trip to Ephesus. It was one of the seven churches of Asia. And it was the gateway to Asia. It was, this is what the Roman Empire looked somewhat like in the first century. The largest city in the Roman Empire was Rome. Had over 1 million people. The next one was Alexandria, Egypt. The third one was Antioch of Syria. And the fourth largest city was Ephesus. And it tells me that the population ranged anywhere from 250,000 to 400,000. So at different times it had different populations. And it didn't only have different populations, it had different sites. There are actually 5 different Ephesus. And the one we're going to talk about today is Ephesus 3. So the first one you can see on the green here, if I can get this thing to work. Okay. There's one right there by the Aegean Sea. The next one is a little further down. And 3 is here, 4 is here, and 5 is over here. But we're going to talk about 3 because it's the best preserved. And we'll go through that a little later. And this is kind of a map of what it looked like. You know, if you went there today, you could find most of these things. And about all the stuff I looked for, I looked for a synagogue. You know, said most people were Jewish. You figured there's a synagogue somewhere. But everybody says, well, they know there's one, but they couldn't find it. Well, I looked, you know, Acts 18:19 talks about a synagogue in Ephesus. Okay, something else that's, okay, here in the corner, here's where Luke is buried. Right here. Over here in this corner, that's where John's buried. And this is kind of what it would look like if you were looking down on it. And I'll just kind of go through. We're going to walk through a lot of these places here in a little while. But this is the town square. This is where most of the paperwork and stuff were done. This here was the marketplace. And everything covered, walkways were covered, were all porticos. It was just a covered walkway. And if you were on the mountain looking down, this is what Ephesus would look like. You know, here's the river coming in. You know, here's the river back here. And this is the port. This is the walls. Okay, Ephesus was the center of the Mediterranean trade. Once a trade center for ancient world and a religious center. Now, Ephesus got its start in the 10th century B.C. And it went on until the 15th century A.D. So that's 2,500 years that between those 5 cities. The walls were 35 feet high, 10 to 15 feet thick, and 6.2 miles long. So it was all covered. Even at the port, there were big gates. They could close the gates. Somebody came. Okay, and that's what the port looked like. That's supposedly what it looked like. Okay, now, you know, we all remember about the Silk Road, you know, with Marco Polo and, you know, his story. Well, to tell you the truth, Marco Polo didn't have his story written to the 12th century. This is the first century, and they were probably doing it 100 or to 1,000 years before that. Trade either went by land, went to the Royal Road that was just north of Ephesus, and the stuff was hauled from Ephesus port to Rome and Macedonia and other places in the world. Okay, this is what the channel looks like today. It's just kind of weeded up and silted up. And if you went today, this is probably what you would see. This is the houses on the hillside. Okay, right here you're looking down on the main street, looking down towards the library. And if you went there today, this is what you'd see. Those are the same streets that Paul walked on, Luke walked on, Priscilla and Aquila, you know, Luke, John, and even the Mother Mary. Okay, this is, if you were sitting in the amphitheater on the top row, this would be your view. Okay, this was, the reason I got this is, there was a whole lot of different religions in Ephesus. Christianity wasn't the only one. There was probably 15 or 20 different religions. And this religion here was a Greek religion that was in Egypt. And it was later changed to a Christian church. And this is right behind the library. And this is what it looks like if you went there today. Notice everything is laid out. And I'll explain that to you in a little while. Okay, this is, John had a church in Ephesus, and this is what the model of what his church looked like. This is what the groundwork looks like today. This is the library. The Celsus Library. This is what, looking down the street, it would look like. You notice the facade is two-story. Inside is three stories. Okay, the biggest library in the Roman Empire was in Alexandria. The second one was Pergamum, and the third one was Ephesus. Had over 12,000 scrolls in this library. And there was cubby holes in the wall, and that's where they put the scrolls. On the first floor, there was, you see the statues in the corners? One was for wisdom, fortune, knowledge, and virtue. And the guy that the library was named after was such a lover of books that he was being honored and buried in town, but he was also honored and buried inside the library to be among his books. And here's one of the main streets. And it's a kind of a strange name, but it was named after some priests for one of the religions that they had there. And here's the temple. There was two temples right next to each other, and one of them was to Rome and one of them was to Julius Caesar. And the temples were basically just to pacify and have good relationships with the emperors. They just kind of flatter them and said, you know, we have a temple for you. And that's basically what that was. The imperial cult, you know, just religion kind of never really took on. And here's a Dominion Square. I said Dominion was, okay, we go back, Vespasian, he became emperor, then his son was, they were having the war with the Jews in Jerusalem. Well, he left and became emperor. His son Titus took over and end up burning down the temple. And this is his brother, Dominion. Dominion Square is the main entrance from Magna, which is on the east side. You came in and you had to pass through this square to actually get in town. The Vitius Gym was a very large gym. It said, I think I counted maybe 5, 6, or maybe even 7 gyms. You know, And there's as many baths as there are gyms. So they love to work out, and they love to take baths. Okay, this is on the other side, the Hippodrome. This is way out. This is way out of town. And a lot of this was for schools. You know, you know we go for math, arithmetic, and all this. They went for art, sports, and literature, and things like that. Now, you notice how the baths were. You could either take a warm bath, a cold bath, or a hot bath. Temple of Hadrian. Okay, this is still on the main drag. And it was dedicated to Hadrian. He came by and visited, so they built him a temple. Okay, Arcadia, this is the harbor road. This is the main thing. When the sailors got off the ship back in here, well, it's right on here, they would walk down this road. And on either side of the road, it was like a carnival. There were people selling stuff. They had games to play. It's just anything to take your money, you know. It's just. And see, the street was 1,740 feet long and 36 feet wide. Shops, galleries, everything that was there. And now look at this other thing. There were three lighted. This is one of the three lighted streets in the world. Rome, Antioch, and Ephesus. There were lights on those streets at night. Harbor Gym is just, you notice everything's still laid out. And these weren't small complexes at all. These were very large. Okay, the Hercules Gate. This is what they did. They did this to get traffic down to foot traffic. So it narrowed down so much that you could only walk past this point. And this is pretty close to right when you got into town. So everything was foot traffic. Okay, this is really interesting here. What is it you don't see? You don't see any toilet paper, do you? Okay, and this is, you could go to the restroom with 36 of your closest friends. Or 36 people you didn't know. No separation, this is what it was. And you had to pay. And you see the little stream right here. This was flowing water. Now what they did is that after you used the restroom, there was a stick with a sponge on it. And you would take that sponge and rub it in that water, clean yourself, wipe the sponge, and give it to the next guy. Okay, and something else is some of the richer people. Now this is marble. So, you know, marble gets cold. And in the wintertime, what they would do is they would send their slave or hire somebody to go sit on the seat and warm it up. So that, you know, so when they went, it would be warm for them. Okay, the State Agraria. Okay, this is the marketplace. This was the big marketplace. Okay, I'm wrong. This is where the business took care of. The other one is where the market was. Okay, let's see here. The one we just seen, the state was here. Here's the market. Okay, and here's the Hippodrome back here. That gym we just talked about, the Versides, that's back over here. And here's the Port Street right here, the harbor. Here's the library. Okay, and we talked about the Dominion Square. That's right here. If we come in here, the Gates of Hercules right here. Walk down the street. Okay, this is the Magnum Gate. And the reason this is called the Magnum Gate is because the people that lived down the street were called magnets. And the reason they were called magnets is because there was some strange iron there that would either repel or go together. So they named the phenomenon after the people. And there was three ways to get in. You could get in here, you could get in the gate on the other side of the hippodrome, or you could come into the port. Okay, this is the marble road. This is the road that heads on to the stadium. And it was called the Sacred Way. And there was just kind of, if you were anybody at that time, you had a statue of you down that road. Okay, here's the library right there in the background. It's the library. And then the marketplace is right next, is right through this walk. And it's kind of strange because on one side was white marble and on the other side was black marble. And these gates are named after two guys. And Augustus had them build these gates and gave them their freedom. They were slaves and they were given their freedom for building the gate. And this is another little strange phenomenon here. Potiliac said Arsenio the Fourth. Now this was Cleopatra's sister. And she lived in the temple of Diana. And she was put there by Augustus Caesar for being treasonous to Rome. And Cleopatra and Mark Antony lived in Ephesus. And they had her killed on the steps of the Temple of Diana because she was too much of a threat. She was about 16 years old. Here's it called the Odeon. And this was like a Senate meeting place, a concert hall, and it seated about 2,300 people. And this was a fountain that the water came from the hills through an aqueduct to this fountain. Water was free of charge in the city. It's not free here. And you could just get it anywhere along the streets. Okay, this is basically what the city hall was. You know, at the administration, they had just kind of like, it was kind of like city hall, civic center, basically what it was. It had an eternal flame and it was right in the middle of the building. The Fountain of Trajan. Okay, back in 1492 when they said Columbus sailed the ocean blue, you know, he was thinking Columbus was going to fall off the edge of the earth, you know. Well, I got after this right here. It was kind of describing what it's all about. You know, it just, there was a pool in front of it, 66 by 33. That's a pretty big pool, you know. But here's what it looked like in its heyday. You know, the drawings of it. Ancient Rome knew the truth that the world was round. Because right here is a round earth with Trajan having his foot on it. And he's symbolizing to the world that I rule the world. Okay, here's another one of the baths. And it's like the rest of them. You had three choices of three different baths to go in. Okay, that bath is basically, let's see, right here. Okay, here's some of the mosaics as you're walking down one of the roads. Okay, this house is supposedly where Mary lived. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he told John, take care of my mother. John moved to Ephesus. Mary moved to Ephesus. And this is billed as the house where Mary lived. Okay, this is from over the harbor towards the amphitheater. The amphitheater was 495 feet in diameter, and you could seat 2,400 people at three different levels. And each level had 20 rows. Orchestra pit on the bottom was 110 feet, and the stage was 22 feet wide. Okay, this is some of the houses. This is one of the houses on the hill being redone. Okay, this is supposedly John's tomb. This is the Temple of Artemis, or Temple of Diana. That's not what it looks like now. That's what it looked like then. Now, that's someone's impression of what it looked like then. It was first built in 800 B.C. And it was torn down and rebuilt several times, but it was always built on the same spot. And supposedly, it was probably the first building in history built of marble. And this is basically how far out of town it was. It was outside the walls, further down the road. Okay, the aqueduct that took the water in was about 2 miles long. I think they ended up having three of them, something like this. Yeah, okay. And you could get water in any fountain down on the road. Okay, that's just to kind of give you, here it is right here. So it was pretty far out of town. Okay, the causes of the downfall of Ephesus 3. Okay, the lucrative Diana cult died down. For over 1,200, 1,500 years, this cult was active. It died down. Money kind of dried up. The port of Ephesus had silted up, and the town had actually moved 6 miles inland from the coast. And the area around Ephesus kind of turned into a swamp. Things had got so bad, mosquitoes had increased and increased. A series of malaria outbreaks, the population either died off or moved off in about 100 years. And then you kind of notice while everything was laying down, well, they had a big earthquake, part of Ephesus 3. Due to the unhealthy conditions, people were too scared to go haul the stones off. That's why Ephesus is so still put together now. And that's our little trip through Ephesus. Kind of let you see what they saw, kind of see where they walked. And you can go there today. It probably cost you a good penny. But today we're going to talk about Ephesus and Revelation 2. 1 through 7. What was Jesus' message to the church in Ephesus in Revelation? In Revelation 2, it begins a series of letters to the seven churches in John's time at Asia Minor. Each of these messages included information concerning each church and that the message would draw lessons applicable to us today. The first letter was to the church in Ephesus. The city was famous for the Temple of Diana, and it's mentioned in Acts 19:27. And the pilgrims came to Ephesus from all over the Mediterranean to worship the goddess of Ephesus. The first thing to note in this letter is that the message is to the angel or messenger of the church of Ephesus. It's not John writing the letter. Well, John probably hand wrote the letter, but the message is from the Lord. One who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lamps. The golden lamps are the churches themselves. The stars are the pastors. Jesus confirms at Ephesus, I know your deeds, your hard works, and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate the wicked, for you have tested and claimed to be the apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. The Ephesus church was a hard-working group of believers, full of fortitude. Also, to their credit, they were gatekeepers of the truth. They did not compromise with evildoers, and they showed patience, endurance, and bearing upon their hardships. However, Jesus did note their shortcomings. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. They were hardworking, but they no longer had the same passion for Christ as when they first became believers. Their work was no longer motivated by love. And he tells them, remember the height from which you fall. Repent and do the things you did at first. In this case, the corrective was to remember the height from their former love. Repent, change your mind about the current status, and return to the previous ways of doing things. It was time for a revival in the church. Jesus warned the church on impending judgment if they didn't repent. I will come to you and remove your lamppost from this place. He was going to tell them, he was going to take the church away from them. The church was going to disband or was going to be destroyed. The light in Ephesus would go out. Jesus added another condemnation. But you have in your favor, you hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And what this was started off as a Christian group, and they started doing ungodly things in church and eating food for idols and stuff like this, and it was a real bad influence on the other people. Jesus then promised a blessing to those who heed the word. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. The tree of life and the paradise of God refers to the new heaven and the new earth, to close in Revelation 21 and 22. Those who conquer, those who overcome, are simply believers. Ephesians were looking forward to the future of a glory of eternity with the Lord. If Ephesus was an influential city in the early church, like the Ephesian church, we can easily fall prey to cold, mechanical observations of religion, just doing the same things over and over again, with no purpose. We have to keep our doctrine pure. As the letter showed, no amount of zeal for the truth or moral could replace the heartfelt love for Christ. Why was Jesus so upset about the Ephesians? The church had left their first love. Now, this statement's not saying that they didn't love him anymore. They're just saying they didn't love him like they used to love him. Their quality had weakened. The church of it had lost its love for God, for the truth, and for doing the work, and for the brethren. The key fundamentals the people were listening to were deceptive doctrines. Some people would rather hold the position than tell the truth. And he's telling the Ephesians, get back on track. Do your work. Preach the gospel. Love the truth. And love each other. And as we ended here, have you left your first love? Is your first love what it used to be? We'll go ahead and sing our song now. If you have anything, come on up. We'll take care of you.